Thank you very much for the new arrangement of that great old traditional hymn, He Leadeth Me. He leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me. What a wonderful way to start the call for worship. A sacrament is God's offering his holiness to men. A ritual is men raising up holiness of their humanity to God. Let us rise as we are able and begin our ritual of worshiping the God who created all things good with words of praise. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. The hour is coming and is now here. In truth, let us worship God.
Please join me in hymn number 214. You may be seated. I invite you to reflect on this Lenten psalm. We will be doing as we have with Pastor Deb for the last 2 weeks. We will do the as a call and response, and then there will be time for you to reflect on what we've just read. O come, let us worship and bow down. For he is our God. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, therefore, in my anger, I swore. Amen.
God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Trusting in God's overflowing grace, let us confess our sin. Lord, you know who we are. We thirst for things that will never satisfy us. Commit ourselves to things that will never last. We worship things that will never bring salvation. Still, you offer us the gift of living water. Still, you offer us the gift of eternal life. Forgive us, O Lord, and give us this living water so that we may never thirst again. Amen. This is the good news of God's grace. Though we were sinners, Christ died for us. Though we were the enemies of God, God loved us. Once we were lost and dead. Now Christ has become our life and salvation. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. May the peace of Christ be with you. Please greet the others around you with God's grace and peace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, through the reading of your scripture and the power of your Holy Spirit, may we hear for ourselves the good news and believe, because your word that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Amen. The Old Testament today is from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, found on the Old Testament section on page 64. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. The Lord said to Moses, Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink. Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not?
Thank you.
The gospel lesson today is from John 5 through 42, John 4, 5 through 42, which can be found on the New Testament, page 94. Because this is such a long passage, I will be reading smaller parts of this text throughout my reflection. So we're going to begin with 5 through 15. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." I have two mottos for myself. One is dare to be different, and the other is expect the unexpected. The more deeply I delve into New Testament scripture readings and read about the words and actions of Jesus, I think that these sentiments could also be attributed to Jesus at times. So, as Sophia Petrillo, that feisty older character on Golden Girls, would say, picture it, Samaria, early first century. Well, let's dust off our sandals, remove any stones, and begin a virtual trip to Samaria. Jesus and his disciples were returning from Judea to Galilee. Most Jews would have avoided going through Samaria to avoid any contact with the Samaritans because they were considered to be outsiders. Jesus, being Jesus, in whom I believe would not exhibit what might be considered prejudicial behavior, chose to take the shortest route to Galilee, which took him right through Samaria. Jesus stopped at Jacob's well to rest. It was known as Jacob's well because it was on the property that Jacob once owned. As I read the passage, I thought it was interesting that verse 6 specified that it was about noon. Why would that be important to know, I wondered. Well, no pun intended, the woman of the area came to the well twice daily, morning and evening, for water. This woman in our reading probably came at noon to avoid the other women who knew of her so-called tarnished reputation. That's the teaser for the next part of the scripture reading. Perhaps Jesus somehow knew this and timed his journey to be there at just the right time. Was this a planned meeting with this particular woman? Or would any woman be okay with this, with whom to talk? My intuition tells me that Jesus had a definite plan in the way that the story continued. In the last 6 months, I feel as if I have had so many God incidences in my own life, I would venture to guess that Jesus did engineer this meeting. However, that is just my opinion based on my own experiences and continued studies. Several Bible texts, including our Pew Bibles that I read, mentioned that Jesus had sent the disciples out for food. Therefore, he would have been a male Jew there by himself, outside the city where the wells were often located, and not at a time when the other women would be there. There was Jesus, daring to be different and not exactly following the protocol of Jews avoiding the Samaritans. So, you ask, or maybe you don't, what exactly was the problem with the Samaritans? Here is a very short explanation based on one of my commentaries. When the northern kingdom, with its capital of Samaria, fell to the Assyrians, many Jews were deported to Assyria, and foreigners were brought to settle the land and keep the peace. Intermarriages brought about a mixed race, which the Jews in the southern region saw as impure. The pure Jews hated the mixed race, and they avoided traveling through Samaria. As we will read, Jesus obviously knew the woman's reputation and that she was a Samaritan. No respectable Jewish man would have talked to the woman in public under these circumstances. But again, this is Jesus we're hearing about, and he asked the woman for a drink of water. The woman knew that Jews did not talk to Samaritans, and she asked him how he could ask for a drink of water from her. Jesus told her that if she knew who he was, she would ask for the living water that he could give her. The woman did not know that Jesus was the Messiah and was confused about the living water concept. She was still on a literal level and even asked Jesus how he could give her the living water when he didn't even have a bucket to draw water. When Jesus told her if he gave her the living water, she would never be thirsty again, she was still thinking on the literal level and exclaimed her happiness in not having to come to the well every day. How much easier her life would be. Picture a very happy Samaritan woman. Wouldn't that be great? She wouldn't have to put up with the rude stares and ridicule of the other women if she encountered them somewhere. Of course, Jesus was speaking of quenching her spiritual thirst for God, not her immediate physical thirst. He wanted to offer her the opportunity to know God and have eternal life by accepting the living water. In today's time, many people seem to be more focused on physical needs, materialistic desires, and ways to make their lives easier than they are focused on quenching their spiritual thirst. How can we as Christians, as members of God's family, offer living water to these people? Can we explain what this means to others, to help them know God and not thirst spiritually again, even in hard times? How can we keep our faith and share it with others? These are difficult questions of which I don't have answers, but I've been relying on God more and more to plant the seeds of ideas. Perhaps God has been planting seeds in your thoughts as well. Then it is up to us to nurture these seeds with care to help them grow. In these trying and often violent times when so many people feel hopeless and that there is nowhere to turn, let us consider having discussions and sharing our ideas of how we might seek the right times and places to explain the concept of living water and eternal life, and how spiritual thirsts of others might be satiated. We are the body of Christ, and it is sometimes easier to work together as one body rather than one person alone. Continuing now, let us listen to the next part of the scripture reading, starting at verse 16. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. During this conversation with the woman, Jesus instructed her to go get her husband and bring him back. Can you imagine when the woman told him she had no husband, and Jesus told her that, yes, that was correct, that she had had five husbands, and the one that she was with then was not her husband? Picture the wide-eyed look on her face. I'm sure the woman wasn't expecting that answer. Remember when I mentioned that she probably came to the well at noon when the other women weren't around to judge her? Now, here was this unknown Jewish man telling her the truth about her life, the life that was probably subject to scorn and ridicule. She had not met him before, and there had been no Facebook postings about her life back then, of course. So how did he know this about her? She and Jesus continued a discussion about where worship might take place. She had her ideas, and Jesus tried to lead her in the right direction. When Jesus said, salvation is from the Jews, he meant that only from the Jewish Messiah would the whole world find salvation. He continued to explain that God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. God is everywhere, can be worshipped anywhere, and the physical place is not important. The woman told Jesus that she could tell that Jesus is a prophet and the Messiah was coming. Then Jesus informed her that he was the Messiah. Once again, the woman heard a statement she was not expecting. Could there be any more surprises for this woman at the well? Well, let us continue with the next part of the scripture reading, beginning with verse 27. Just then, his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, what do you want, or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? Then they left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The food Jesus talked about with his disciples was actually spiritual nourishment. He saw his spiritual nourishment as doing God's will. Just as there is a time to harvest the crops in the field, there is the right time to look around and notice opportunities to harvest the spiritual nourishment of those who may be ready to listen. After hearing what the woman had told them, the Samaritans from the city chose to come back with the woman to listen to Jesus. After hearing what he told them, they were ready to believe he was the Messiah and have their spiritual needs harvested. As I continue to ponder this fairly long passage, I once again see us as a body of Christ in the church. Each of us has different talents, ways to use our time, and different comfort zones. Some of us are comfortable with reaching out to others and witnessing for Christ and the living water in a conversation. Others of us are more comfortable with using our actions to witness and to offer spiritual nourishment. I am reminded of the Sunday school song words, and they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. I am definitely in the second category. I am in disbelief every time I am up front speaking to the congregation. How can I, the ultimate wallflower, be comfortable enough to be up here? Meeting new people, being placed in small discussion groups, and making small talk in social situations has been, and still often is, almost paralyzing for me at times. Somehow, God had to have had a hand in these slow changes in me as well. So I find myself more comfortable as a silent witness, trying to be the feet and hands of Christ in my everyday life and in my volunteer work, building relationships with others with a smile and hopefully a kind word or action. Yet if I ever notice that someone is ripe for spiritual nourishment, I hope that God helps me through my speaking insecurities to be a good witness. Building relationships is a crucial first step if we are going to offer spiritual nourishment and the concept of living water to others. At the end of many days, I look back through my words and actions and ask myself how I did that day as a good example of a Christian. Did I say or do anything that showed kindness? Did I help someone in any way? Did I stop myself from being judgmental, especially if I don't know the entire background story? Did I try to be understanding of people's behaviors, not necessarily excusing, but looking to see why the behaviors exist? I remind myself often that not everyone was raised with the same values that I was. Did I refrain from gossiping or saying anything that was not appropriate, necessary, or kind? I think of the lesson we can gain from Jesus' meeting with the woman at the well. Jesus dared to be different from the Jews of that time and offered the living water to the woman. He gave her the opportunity to accept his offer. He didn't just cast her aside as someone to ignore or ridicule. I hope that at the end of the day, I can see more positives in my words and actions, which might somehow lead to another person wanting to know more and asking for and accepting the living water. If that is so, then perhaps I can rest easily and feel that all is well with my soul. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing "It Is Well With My Soul," which is your insert for the day. And at the end, as usual, if you would set them back on the table, I would appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let us state what we believe using the words of the traditional Apostles' Creed found on page 14 at the front of the hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is such a joy to be able to gather today freely to praise and worship you and to glorify your name this beautiful snowy Sunday morning. We know that you are always with us, and we know we need to trust that you provide for us and take care of us in your time, not ours. We have many concerns for ourselves, our family and friends, and our acquaintances, as well as our community, country, and the world. We pray for the homeless, that their basic needs are taken care of, for those suffering physically and those dealing with mental issues. Please wrap your comforting and healing arms around them. We pray for those who are grieving and those who are lonely. Please help them to know that they are not really alone, that you are with them, and they can reach out to you at any time. Please be with those who are victims of abuse, be it verbal or physical. Please find ways to give them hope, to find new avenues to go down, and give them the comfort and help that they need. We ask for discernment for our church leaders, as well as the leaders of governments on all levels and around the world. Please help all people remember that kindness and loving you and each other should be priorities in our lives. Help us to reach out to others who are looking for more meaningful things in their lives, to have their spiritual thirst quenched. We thank you for the many blessings and gifts you have given us, and especially your Son, who taught us so much about you and how to treat others. We ask all this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 101, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
those who may be looking for spiritual nourishment. Go in peace.